Be in Psalm 126 again. Tremendous singing from these young men. Brother Jimmy, aren't you glad when the Lord saved you, he gave you something to do? Everybody's got a spiritual gift. Some don't know what it is, and a whole lot aren't exercising it. But that doesn't mean God didn't give it to you. Something to glorify him. I believe morning services and tent revivals or in church revivals are a covering for the night services. I don't believe we're wasting our time doing this. It's very valuable. It's very important. I remember when God showed me the principle of the remnant in the Bible. How that it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a few. That can really lay hold on God. Really lay hold on God. Knows how to do it. And knows how to get God's ear, touch God's heart, move God's hand. And God desires to do his will, and he needs people that will cooperate with him. That's what you get into in a worship service. We need people that will cooperate with the Lord. You ever notice that sometimes the service will break many times when one person is just obedient. Just one person. Because it is a sacrifice of their pride. And it may be a pure act of worship from their heart. There is nothing that brings God's presence like real worship. Not a pep rally. Real worship. Now, I'm not against people shouting and praising God. I was raised in that. I believe in it. And I try to do some of it. But I'm talking about when it's from the heart. When it's done by people that's got clean hearts and clean hands. Not wanting to be seen, not putting on a fleshly show, but an adoration of a holy God for who he is and what he is. Now before I read Psalm 126, David made this statement after his great repentance before the Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I wonder, are our hearts clean? Meditate on that. Is your heart clean? That's the only people can do business with God in prayer is people that have clean hearts. Create in me a clean heart. That means David can't do it. God's got to do it. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. When you come to Psalm 126, there's some business been taking place, and I started this yesterday, didn't get very far into it. But the emphasis here is always on the Lord. David said, create in me a clean heart. Emphasis is on the Lord. So that God deals with us, and then God touches us, that we might respond to him in a way that'll honor him. You ever been around somebody and you were just totally comfortable around them? God wants to be comfortable around us. I believe God's on edge around us most of the time. Because we're not like him. The part of you that God loves to be around is a part he put in you. That's the divine nature. God hates our flesh. It's an absolute abhorrence to him. He abhors it. You think about how that the depraved nature is the ally of Satan inside of a man. Now, I said this before, but I'm saying this because I want us to recognize just how much enmity that old man is with God. Total enemies. There's a part of me that's at war with God. Now, me and God signed a peace treaty in my soul, my spirit. That Adamic nature is at war with God in me. And it's at war with me. Sin produces a nature. When Satan sinned, it produced a nature. When man sinned, it produced a nature. The same nature. Oh, you can't preach that in a Baptist church. You got the same nature Satan's got. The same. Now I can prove it. What's the essence of Satan's nature? Pride. What's the essence of man's nature? Pride. What did Satan do? He rebelled against God. What does man do? Rebel against God. What did Satan want to be? He wanted to be God. What does man want to be right now? He wants to be God, and God not tell him what to do or how to live. It's the same thing. It's just not as empowered. So what Satan does will never be as wicked as him and diabolical as he is because of his spirit nature. But Satan comes to empower our rebellion against God, his wars against God. Y'all know that? Where does a man go if he dies lost? He goes to hell, don't he? Y'all talk to me now. Need some interaction here. Where's a man go when he dies? Who was hell made for? The devil and his angels. Is God just? Then if man goes to hell, he's as guilty as Satan. Oh, that's right. That's 100% right. How can God be just and put man in hell and put Satan, the beast, and the false prophet in the lake of fire and put man there if they're not just as guilty? They are. We're just little Satans, that old nature. That offends me. It does me too. That's what our old nature is. It is diabolical. It is satanic. And when we live by that, it grieves. When we act like the devil, it grieves the Holy Ghost. No, we don't take God serious. I don't either. We're not taking God serious. God's holy. He blesses us just to try to get us. You know, sometimes it's like a man, him and his wife, not having a good relationship, and he'll go out and buy her something trying to just break the ice. Sometimes God will just bless us trying to break the ice. Then we get satisfied with a little religious tickle and we don't want him. Just want his blessings. The prodigal son wanted his father's goods, but he didn't want him. When the Lord, hallelujah, turned again, praise his name. That lost sinner going to hell at 90 miles an hour as fast as he can get there. I'll tell you why I got saved. God done my part and God done his part. I run and he run me down. He sure did. He got my attention. A man in all his searching can't find God. And God come after us. And God enlightened us. And God drew us. Worked on us till we yielded our heart to him. When people get so far from God as believers and they go through the routine and they so live by the flesh and nothing supernatural ever happens and prayers never get answered and there's no life and there's no victory in their life, it's going to take God to turn all that. When the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I told you yesterday that Zion is spiritual Israel. Only the remnant. God deals with the remnant. God, if God's going to send revival to the church, he's going to deal with the people that mean business. He's going to deal with the remnant in the church. If there's no remnant in the church, he ain't dealing with it. It takes spiritual people to deal with spiritual things. God's the only one can make it spiritual. when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. The remnant is in captivity. And I mentioned this yesterday. We're in captivity to ourself. We're in captivity to our sin. We're in captivity to this world. And we're in captivity to the devil. Ain't that right? You don't say amen right there. That's right. If that ain't so, why is there such little power at the house of God? If our God's as mighty as we say, because his people's in captivity, there's no liberty or no freeness. That's why them sinners can't get saved. They can't get saved in a bound up church. We need God to turn us. We need a supernatural act of God. That God do such a deep work in us to put the seeking in us when we get pursuing him. Daily, going after God. I don't know how far I'm going to get with this. But when the Lord turned again, first year, Cyrus, prophesied 150 years before by the prophet Isaiah. No doubt Daniel's a reading over there in Daniel 9. He's been reading the prophecy of the book of Jeremiah, and he knows within 70 years the Lord's going to deliver him. That's not 70 years from 586 B.C. That's from the first carrying away. There was three of them. The major one was 586, but God counted the time from the first carrying away. Daniel knew his time. He confesses all the sins of Israel, throws himself right in the middle. Folks, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm guilty. God, I'm guilty. I've neglected him. When I started out preaching, I thought I had to win the world. My greatest sorrow, I neglected my children more than I should. Now, trying to run after things of God and not being balanced. I've neglected the Lord. All the time's gone through the motions. You didn't have my heart. Turn my captivity, Lord. The old prophet said, turn us, God, and we'll be turned. See, I talk about all this, paint a bleak picture of what's inside of us. Folks, listen, you never walk with God till you love what God loves and hate what God hates. You got to fear your depraved nature more than you fear Satan. Satan ain't always around, but I tell you, the brave nature's in us. Oh, I fear what's in me. There's a beast in me. And it hates God. And it hates God's holy things. And it'll wreck my life. And it'll destroy my family if I yield to it. It'll destroy me. And I need to fear me. I need to fear what I can do. Hurt the holy name of Christ. Bring public shame and reproach on his holy name. That's what I can do. Brother Andy, I've not always preached in the right spirit. These times I'm sure I have, and times in that right spirit, your attitude. You can be right and then be wrong by your attitude. Oh, I'm so much unlike Christ, I can't believe he puts up with me. He put his treasure in his trash. That's what he did. Every good thing about us, it's him. And my dear people, thank you so much for being here in this seat. But my dear people, the world is not impressed by anything our flesh can do, because they can do that. You go down to some of these hip-hop churches, it's just another rock and rap show. I'll tell you one thing, if I'm going to listen to rock music, it sure ain't going to be some of these clowns that can't even do it. I'm going to listen to some of them I listened to in the 70s. They know how to do it. God have mercy. I ain't listening to it, but I'm telling you, here we are trying to copy the world to do God's work. Trying to act like the world. And our whole services are nothing. They're centered totally around reaching people that don't know God. And our poor God, you might say, is not even hardly mentioned except trying to put his blessings on what we want him to. Church service is so man-centered. They're not about God. The greatest thing you can do for that lost man, have a worship service that's God-centered, and then God will shake that man. Man, Sunday morning worship service, it's not for sinners, it's for God. It's not for the church, it's for God. That's exactly right. When the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Cyrus, first year of his reign, on issue of royal decree, commanded that anybody in Israel or in Babylon that wanted to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of God, he said, the Lord's appeared to me. That's Ezra 1. He said, the God at Jerusalem is God. That man got converted. And he said, I'd do it if I could, but I can't. Because God won't let me. I'm not a Jew. If that temple's going to be built, it's got to be built by Jews. Got to be built by Israelites. We're talking about a theocracy. We're talking about God dealing with a nation. He said, I can't build it, but I'm going to help you build it. I'm going to help you go. And I'm going to turn every one of you loose that want to go. Anybody that's got a burden, anybody, and you're not going to leave empty-handed. And by issue of divine decree, besides everybody that wants to help these Israelites go, we're going to take up a free will offering. That's not none will, that's free will. Free will offering. Not some will. Free will offering. And he said, if that ain't enough, all years of divine decree, all you neighbors, you're going to bless these people. And you give them silver and you give them gold and you give them beasts, you give them livestock, you give them goods so their way can be prosperous and so they can be a success. And he said, wherever these Jews are in the whole empire, if you're their neighbor, you help them get to Jerusalem if they got a burden to go. God's trying to help us get to Mount Zion, folks. Don't tell you something. I don't minimize nothing God does. If God saves one person, I want to run in my soul. Just one. The greatest miracle outside of the incarnation, when God became a man, is salvation. Regeneration, when a son of man can become a son of God. I don't minimize none of it. But we need God to do such a work in us that will never be the same again. A lot of people come to, and I'm not preaching, I'm just talking to you. A lot of people come to service to enjoy them, and that's all right. That's a whole lot better than sitting at home. Let's come to get involved. Let's come being able to pray for the preacher and labor on to get people saved. So, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We've been set free. God's broke our captivity. We can go home. Hope that God's people just come home. Just come home to the Lord. He's been waiting on us, hasn't he? He's been waiting on us a long time. He said, how can I give thee up, Ephraim? How can I give you up? How can I make you like Abner? Those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, my heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled within me. Every time I want to wipe you off, I can't. I got to look the other way, get cooled off. Every time God thinks about judging us for our foolishness, he says, I love you so much, I want to wait a little while. Maybe they'll come home. That little wife that her husband forsook her, she's waiting on him to come home. Or that husband waiting on his wife. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is a lover. He is a lover. God made us with the capacity to love because God is a lover. He'll love your soul. There ain't nothing like being loved by Him, and His liquid flow of mercy and love encapsulate your soul. There ain't never been a drug like that. Second best thing to being in God's love like that is the unity of the brethren. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Daddy told me about it. All them youngins grew up in Babylon. He said, Daddy told us what that land was like. Can you imagine when General Douglas MacArthur stood on the beach? President Truman has ordered him to go to Australia. Roosevelt, I'm getting mixed up in my mind here. That's about the end of World War II. I think it's Truman. Ordered him to go to Australia because what a trophy that would have been when Pearl Harbor was attacked on December the 7th, 1941. December the 8th, Japan bombed our forces in Southeast Asia and did a crippling blow in America and in Southeast Asia. And they were closing in. The Japanese had invaded China. And I'll not get into that. I'll get sidetracked. So they're going to evacuate MacArthur, his wife, and I think he had a son then, my mind's slipping. And anyhow, General MacArthur stood on that beach, and he looked into the brown eyes, them Filipino soldiers, those people, and those American soldiers. He said, I, Douglas MacArthur, give you my word, I shall return. Next time he comes, the heavens were filled, the darkness of our planes and ships was on the horizon. And there was seen big, tall, distinguished man in sunglasses walking up on that beach. And he said, Douglas MacArthur kept my word. I have returned. They said all over the Philippines, word got out. MacArthur's back. They said the men, the old men was clapping their hands and the old women jumping up and down. Help us on the way. Gonna be delivered from these captors. Oh, that our people can be delivered from demon spirits that's harassing us. Wouldn't that be something if on Sunday morning our people just get to jumping up and down the excitement. The Lord's are coming. He whom my soul longeth for is here. That's when we'll make an impact. And it says here, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream, going home. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing, and said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The sinners are rejoicing before they are. The Lord hath done great things for them. You know what that meant to that man bound in sin? He said, maybe now there's hope for me. I went down to the church. Went down to the worship center or the North Point or ever what they're called nowadays. I don't even know their names. I went down there. And that bunch is in much captivity as I am. It's just a bunch of prisoners and nobody had the key. And, oh, when the word gets out like Mark 2 that Jesus was in the house, that's when those four men brought their friend to Christ because they knew he could do something for us. Lord, turn again. There's a man, I heard this sermon. There's a dear man church had been praying for 30 years. And he come one Sunday morning when there's a great breakthrough in the church and he was converted. And they were all interested in his testimony. His testimony was this. He said, I've tried for 30 years to get here. I've been wanting to get saved for 30 years. Well, he felt like most sinners my age and older than me, you got to get saved in church. You know, you got to get saved at a revival or invitation. That's just our mindset. A lot of people think that way. He said, every Sunday morning, a lot of Sunday mornings, I'd get up to go, and I was so bound. I was so hindered, and I meant to get there, and I never could. But see, the church had experienced revival. And he said, I got up this morning, and there was nothing to bind me. And there was no hindrance. And I come, and God saved me. You say, why don't sinners come? You ever thought about maybe they can't? Maybe they're trying, and they're under such power of Satan, they can't get there. And if God would pour out his spirit on the church, he'd break that power on them. I believe that. Why do you think people get saved in revival meetings? Why do you think people been getting converted around here? 1 + 1 = 2. When God pours out his spirit, he breaks the wills of sinners and subdues them and breaks them down and releases them from the power of the devil, and they will choose to come. That's right. You ever seen a woman having a baby in its breech? Some women have easy childbirths. They're all painful, but some are a lot less than others. And when God's power is here, he just knows how to get them. Don't y'all believe that? When the Lord turned the captivity to Zion, we was like them that dream. Our heart was turned to laughter. God's people got their song back. God's people got their song back. I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost is near, Amazing Grace is a brand new song. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Full of joy. This is a psalm of ascent. They would sing this going up to the temple. God, I don't know how long I'm going to go with this, but God will only impact a nation when he impacts his people. The entire future of this country and the freedom there are is resting on the backs of the people that know God, what they're going to do with the Lord. God will impact families when he impacts us. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, that means there was a reversing. There was a turn. I know Brother Randy, he's a lover of history and a lover of revival. You know where the first time the word revived is in the Bible? Genesis 45. Story of Joseph, the beloved son. Old Jacob thought Joseph was gone forever. He had been mourning for all these years. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. What would happen? I want to tell you something. Life won't come till you find out Joseph's alive. That's Christ. He's got to be alive to you, not by theological facts. Living his life in you. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. He is like him that dreams. He said, there ain't no way you're dreaming. That's what Jacob said. There ain't no way it's right. That's too far out there. And Jacob's heart fainted. He believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph sent to carry him, spirit of Jacob is their father revived. Jacob said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I'll go and see him before I die. I believe there's churches, especially here in the South. Brother Randy, we got our dear, precious elderly people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. I believe if they knew God would touch our little church again, if the power of God would break out again, God get the saving again, they'd say, God, it's enough. I'm ready to go. That's what they're living for. Is for God to turn the captivity of his people. Jacob was cast down in distress, even to death. But Jacob saw the wagons. When he saw the blessing, when he saw the evidence, then he believed. That was God's revelation of victory. And then they were filled with laughter. You ever been in a service where people get to laughing for joy? Oh, my. I heard this a long time ago, and the more I think about it, the more I believe it. You know what drugs are? You know what LSD is? You know what heroin and all these drugs are? They are the substitute of the devil for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I'll show you why. Because man wants to feel something. He wants to forget his problems, and he wants to get into another dimension in his mind. That's what revelation of God does to you. Everything drugs are counterfeit for, the fullness of the Spirit does, and does it in purity. 2 Chronicles 20:22. They began to sing and to praise. The Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which come against Judah, and they were smitten. Well, I just thought about this. I'm not preaching this sermon. I'm just talking to you from my heart. When Hophni and Phinehas, war broke out the Philistines. And they said, we're going to take the Ark of God into battle. When the soldiers seen the Ark of God coming into battle, they made so much noise the earth trembled. The Philistines says, we're goners and we're dead. Their God has come among them. But we're not going to be their slaves. We're going to die as men of honor. And we're going to engage them in battle. And what was it the next day? 30,000 killed. I'm going to tell you something. Our racket don't bother the devil. Praise of God and the glory. What bothers him? You know why? Because real worship, Christ inhabits it. Real worship in a church, the Lord walks in. When he walks in, the devil's got to leave. The devil ain't scared of our noise. He's horrified of a man or a woman right with God in love with him, worshiping from their heart. Faith won the battle. Praise was the evidence of the faith and victory in their heart. See, that's what praise is. Praise is based on truth. Spontaneous praise is based on the revelation God just hit your heart with. That's why it's spontaneous and it ain't worked up. You do it before you know you've done it. Like God show you grace and you get caught up in that and you done praising him. You don't even know 1,000 people's watching you because you don't care. That's right. God give you a little real revelation through his word or a song. Who God is or God's faithfulness. Like Brother Jimmy talking about the sweet things from dark places. And God hits you like a thunderbolt. How real that is, a revelation of that. Sometimes you'll just weep and sometimes you'll be praising God. Don't even know you did. It's like my cousin is up on there's a prayer mountain up close where I live. He's the one got me going right after I started preaching. He said, I went up there, had to climb this mountain. He said, I come in there gasping for breath, a gagging, carrying on. He said, and looked around, there's a bunch of 80-some-year-old men sitting in there. He said, I heard somebody shouting and looked around, and it's me. So here in verse 1 is the turning. Evidence he is turning our hearts to God. That's what this is going on right now. Brother Randy, it's the evidence of God's intervention to really turn our hearts to him. I'm going to tell you, if your heart's been turned to God, you ain't doing what you was doing 10 weeks ago. There's some things in your life you ain't doing. You got sanctified. Hey, some things you ain't watching because you'd rather go spend time with God. Amen. There's a turning of hearts to God and there's a healing of the soul. There's a singing and a praising and an outward change
of disposition. When the church is strengthened, the heathen are quickened. The heathen said in verse 3, the Lord had done great things for them. Then said, when their mouth of the saints was filled with laughter and their tongue was singing, they said, the Lord hath done great things for them. I'd sure like to have what they got. As a woman got to come into church, Brother William here knows who I'm talking about. It's the most pitiful thing. Pitiful thing. She'd come to prayer meetings, come to church. She's a Lutheran, raised Lutheran. And she's trying to get to God and couldn't understand it. And she'd get up and cry, Brother Randy, testifying, and said, I want to be like y'all. I want to be one of y'all. And we had a tent revival a couple years ago. Brother Mark Straub was preaching when God loosed her. Now she could say, I'm one of y'all. Amen. We will not experience this joy and victory till we're delivered from the captivity of ourself, our sin, our flesh, this world, and the devil. For 10 days, the 120 were unnoticed. Nobody in the world even knew they were alive. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, power of God come through that place like a tornado, a wind. It's so much noise, all those Jews run out of their houses. They thought the Temple Mount's getting blowed down. There's in the upper room nearby. They come out to see what the storm. They heard that noise of that storm. When they come out, old Simon Peter and them men hit the streets under the anointing of God, preaching the gospel. And God got so strong on them boys, they cried out, man, brethren, quit preaching. What must we do? May God deliver us from our captivity. In the day God visits his people, we'll be noticed. We'll be noticed from our love, our humility, our graciousness, our holiness, our faithfulness to God, our love of one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. Brother Jimmy, how about you come and so I'll quit here in a minute. The word says here, I ain't even preached that first sermon yet. I started yesterday. But anyhow, then said they among the heathen. That word said, then said they. It means to say or to think in the heart. They were meditating upon it. This was deep thinking. This wasn't something they said off the cuff. They watched them. And they saw the difference. They saw the grace of God. Listen to Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived all that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Brother Andrew, remember over in the book of Acts when they sent men down there and it said they had seen the grace of God. Amen. Same result among the heathen. I'll tell you something, folks. This world's looking for something that's real. Brother C.T. was talking about this the other night, and it just struck a chord in my heart about that woman in that restaurant, that waitress in Charlotte. And she asked the question, is that as real? Did you get that? As real as everybody's saying. Real. Something I can't explain. Something I can't do drugs and counterfeit. Is it real? I'll tell you something. Jesus is the great attraction. And when the Holy Ghost gets sinners past the love of their sin, power of the devil, and Pharisees and hypocrites, all that Satan does, if the Lord ever pushes back all them scarecrows and they say Jesus, they'll run to him. They'll run to him. Amen. He knows how to say, I love you. He knows how to say, come to me. Do you know in the Bible, Jesus never did say pray, but we do pray. That expresses our heart. He said, come. That's all he said. Come. Come. And when your will's broke is when you're saved. When you yield to him, you come. Ain't the Lord precious?
Old Brother Jim Price is in heaven and been there for a while. He got saved and he's about 50 years old. He is so on fire for God. Everybody hated to see him coming. If you said Jim pray, he'd preach for an hour. He couldn't shut up. He got saved in a Holy Ghost revival in the late 60s. God saved about 500 at Central Baptist Church in Whitnall. Brother Larry Winkler come out of that church. Some great men come out of that revival. Jim Price, one of them. He said that Sunday morning, he hadn't been to church in a long time. All he knew, there's a hell and a judgment he is headed for. That's all he knew. He said that Sunday morning, he said there's a war going on in my heart. It's like the devil's on one side, telling me it's all right, wait, put it off. And said the Lord was on the other side. And he said when that invitation was given, I never heard nothing like this. He said when the invitation was given, he said it's like the Lord stood at the end of his pew. And all he said was, Jim, will you come? Jim, will you come? He said, I went to the altar and they was down there trying to get me right with God like I was backslid. He said, now this is strange. He said, I didn't even know anything happened till I went to Cedar Rock Country Club to play golf like he did every Sunday. He got out there around them boys. He put the ball down to tee off the first hole. Took that club back and the Holy Ghost said, no, son. No, son. And he looked around. He ain't never had God call him son. And he said when he stepped toward God, when he said come, God accepted it. Ain't no need in you doubting that the way that man lived for God. He'd go and find revivals. He'd be in revival every night of the year. He'd drive all over ours and find a revival to go to. Then say that among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. Means God's grace and God's love is upon them. Revival catches the eye of the lost man. Aren't you glad? The heathen here acknowledge God. They acknowledge the blessing of God on his people. Let me just say this right quick. I got a couple points here I was wanting to make here. Why they so rejoiced? Because it was such a great deliverance from such a long bondage. It was sudden and unexpected. I remember Brother David Harrison preached a sermon years ago and a meeting broke out. He preached one night on the word suddenly in the Bible. God came to the temple suddenly. Days of Hezekiah, day of Pentecost, he came suddenly. All things seemed to be so impossible. And God came through. So, preacher, what are we here to do? We're here right now, first of all, forget about the service tonight for a little bit. It's you and God. It's you and God. Have you got a clean heart? I can't pray for this meeting tonight if I don't have a clean heart. And I need a right spirit. And I can't make myself that way. All I can do is throw myself on the mercy of God and he promised. I don't have to do penance for a month if I'll confess my sin. If I'll confess it. Turn from it. He'll forgive me that quick. God, clean my heart out. Lord, I don't know that anything's there, but I can't see it like you. I'm humbled that Brother Randy, Brother C.T. would want me to even get up here and say a few words. And these dear sweet people that's come, they're here to do business with you. God, I want to be thoroughly right with you. I want to be thoroughly right with you. God, forgive me for all the times. Lord, you've already forgiven me. But I just want to tell you again, I'm sorry. Every time I failed you, let you down. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Dear Savior. Dear Savior, dear sweet Holy Spirit,
give these dear people, give us all the joy of thy salvation. Let it bubble up in us, the joy of thy salvation. God, you're here. God, you're here thick. You've been here all these weeks. You've anointed Brother C.T. by his own testimony beyond anything he's ever experienced. You've took him out in deep water because he can't lead us if you don't take him first. You've led him out into deep water, and he has all this warfare on the weekends. God, we declare victory for him today. God, we're so glad we can say to Satan, he's got no right in this place, nor against that man of God. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost will enforce the victory of Calvary, the shed blood and the resurrection against the demonic powers that will descend to try to get in this thing even now. God, form us that we're a vacuum. Put us in the bubble, the vacuum of the power of God. Come, Holy Ghost, come in power. Lord Jesus, we take our position. Holy Father, we take our position in Christ before your throne. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Not only in this world, the world which is to come. Stand in the name that's above every name.